Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Weekly topics focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dockery, is your host. We engage experts from time to time and individuals with experience in certain subject matters, as well as you, our listening audience, in provocative conversations. This format serves as a catalyst for sharing and connecting relevant information to our online community. All across America, there are well-meaning parents and grandparents of children who struggle with the fear and uncertainty of how to properly rear and, when needed, discipline their children. The issue is most often the misunderstanding of legal expectations as related to child discipline. Tragically, for far too many young people, the lack of discipline results in early demise, both socially and naturally. This is an open mic discussion, and we're talking from the topic, who said, I can't discipline my child? We're talking about the difference between child abuse versus discipline. The number to call us tonight is 657-383-0944. Call us live here. We welcome you to call to hear your question and or your comment and participate in the dialogue. We only ask that you keep it relevant to our subject matter for tonight and that you share your opinion and be respectful of others, whether you agree or disagree with them. The goal is for us all to learn from dialogue. And tonight, as with every other show, your host, yours truly, your host, will provide a monologue, and I hope that we provide some factual information that will help guide our discussion and that will give us a sense of frame of reference for dialogue tonight. I expect to have Pastor Ricky Waller to join us a little later and perhaps others. But again, if you're listening from Facebook platform or from the Blog Talk platform, please feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Having said that, we're going to go ahead and begin with our monologue. And again, in the interest of those who may be listening for the very first time, you should know that these shows are recorded. And first thing tomorrow, you can go back and listen to them and hear something that perhaps you missed and get the information there. All righty. Again, we're talking from the topic, Who Said Can't Discipline My Child? Child Abuse versus Discipline. In the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter in the 6th verse, the King James Version writes, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I would like to first define a few terms here, and then what we're going to do is to try to give you a sense of what does the law say about discipline versus what does people think it involves, okay? And I believe it will help us get to the point of who said you can't discipline your child. That's the real question we want to answer. And then we want to understand the difference between abusing children and disciplining them. So, abuse, and you can find these words, these are general terms in the dictionary. Something to bad effect or for a bad purpose. That's what abuse is used for. Misuse, treatment or mistreatment of a person with cruelty or violence, especially when it is regularly repeated. That's what abuse is. Basically, to use a position over someone and to misuse them, to mistreat them, to inflict some sort of harm on them. All right? Discipline. The practice of training people, watch this, you all, to obey rules or a code of behavior, using punishment to correct disobedience to those rules or expected behavior. But it's about training, teaching, educating, orientating people to obey rules and codes of behavior. All right? A child. These seem like simple things, right? The practice of training people to obey those rules, basically. And when we talk about a child, we're talking about a human being who has feelings and emotions. Okay, and we're talking about someone who is young, in need of someone providing them guidance. Now, in relation to a person, when we talk about what is known as the formative experience or years, it's a word that describes the experience that make us who we are in our lifetime. You might call your adolescence, for instance, or your teenage years, your formative years. Because many people remember certain songs that were played during their decades that they were coming up as a teenager and how it reminds them of what happened to them in high school or block and in other social settings. These things have a way of shaping who we are and helping us identify ourselves, especially little young children looking up and seeing what other people are doing and looking to them for example. But I'd like for you to consider for a second that perhaps the strongest time or period in our growth and development in our formative years is the time of our life that is known as the early childhood experience. It tends to span from the period of birth to 8 years of age. Okay? What happens in that time frame is critical activities that lead to our ability to think and to reason and our social interaction with other people, how we interact with women and other men, emotional development, as well as physical development. Generally, this is recognized as the most important period of our growth. Okay? So what we have is the fact that there is a formal meaning of abuse and discipline, right? And when we talk about children, we talk about their formation, we have to understand that critically, as they're coming up and they're relying on the examples of others, i.e. their parents or guardians, this is what shapes who they are. Now, let's look at briefly what the law says. And then I want to try to explain things in the context from a religious perspective about discipline, what we tend to say from a religious point of view, from a proscriptive perspective, and lastly, from a prescriptive perspective. But first, let me go to, again, this explanation of what does the law say. Most states do not prohibit parents from spanking their children in all circumstances. However, all of the states have statutes that define child abuse. If a parent is accused of child abuse because he or she has struck their child, then a judge or jury would have to decide whether the parent's actions constituted abuse based on the state law to the facts in that particular case. Now, the federal government has enacted what is called Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment, or CAPTA. Okay? It provides minimum standards for all of the 50 states that the states must incorporate into their child abuse statutes. So each state make their own laws relative to child abuse. But the Congress has said through CAPTA, here are some basic things that should be there. It requires that the definition of child abuse and neglect include any recent act or failure to act on part of a parent or caretaker that results in the death, serious physical or emotional harm, sexual abuse or exploitation, or an act of failure to represent an imminent risk of serious harm for those children under their care. Now, briefly, let me just explain from religious perspective. Proscriptive are things that you do among you and your little subgroup. That's how we do. You know, you hear some of our people say, come on, man, you know how we get down. You know what we do. That's just how we do. Everybody don't understand us because they ain't never been black before. That's what I hear all the time. Okay? That's proscriptive. But then there are prescriptive things. In other words, these are things that are written and codified in law or in some sort of policy somewhere that guides you. For instance, CAPTA, as I just mentioned. Okay? So just briefly, let's look at that, okay? But first I want to give you a case study, and this will kind of set the stage for it, and we'll go right into our dialogue in just a few minutes. A mother gave her 12-year-old son instructions not to leave the home while she was at work. When she returned home to find her son outside with his friends on the corner, she confronted him. The son became physically aggressive with his mother, and she closed her fist up and hit him dead in the mouth, so hard that his mouth and nose started bleeding. The son turned around, ran in the house, called the police on his mother. The mama wound up being arrested and charged with child abuse. We're going to talk about it. Now, from a biblical perspective, you read the text. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child, right? And what the word discipline means in the Hebrew is correction or corrections. It's related to chastisement or restraint. That's according to the Strong's, often according to the Bible, okay? Now, further, there are some other texts, such as Proverbs 13:24. It talks about correction as being necessary to keep children safe, all right? With those subcultural assumptions, what is made is that, corporal punishment is the only way I can get children to behave and be appropriate. When we look at Proverbs 3:12, instruction is an expression of love. Some people view that as love is expressed with force, though, and they're going to mind me, right? So again, these are some examples of how, from a religious perspective, people have coded these meanings and definitions, all right? Within the ethnic of subculture expression in your hood, in your community, right, the perspective of discipline is this. As a parent, God gave me the right and even a duty to whoop my child's behind. They get out of order. The only way to make those children behave is to instill fear in them. So when they see you coming, they know to get up and run. Children should be seen and not heard. Physical punishment can't hurt them as a child because guess what? I got it and it didn't hurt me. I'm still here. And lastly, because the parent gave birth to their child, they got a right to do whatever they want to. You've heard the expression. My folk used to say it. I brought you in the world. I take you up out of here. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the story. But here's the legal thing. This is where the conflict comes in. We say what the Bible says. We say what we're used to doing. But then there is the law that governs us in the city, state, or municipality we live in. Okay? The law defines discipline as instruction, comprehending the communication of knowledge, and training to observe and act in accordance with the rules and orders, specifically of society. It also sees it as correction, chastisement, punishment, penalty, to bring under, upon, or bring under control. Now, Black's Law Dictionary, 6th Edition, 1990, page 464 is where we got that from. All right. Now that we got that, let's get right into it. I got my good friend online with me, Pastor Ricky Waller. You're listening to Talk Straight, and we're talking tonight from the thought, who said I can't discipline my child? What's the difference between child abuse and discipline? 657-383-0944. Give us a call. We'll be happy to entertain you. Pastor Waller, how you doing this evening, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. How you doing there, Pastor Stockley?
Yes, sir. Pretty good. Pretty good. Help me out here, Doc. I don't want to go wrong.
Yeah, you always find this very interesting, I guess, to bring and put on the table. So can you go wrong when you're talking about training up a child? That means that the child is supposed to, whether they know it or not, follow your instructions. If you're training them in the way they should go.
Uh-oh.
And that's the thing, you know, it's the thing where how they should be able to interact with what it is that you're saying and what you expect. I think you made an example about a person going off to work, you know, the parent, and then the child is at home, and they was given instruction.
Right.
You know, a simple instruction in what to do. While they were gone. Just so happened the child decided to do contrary to that. And I think that's what you're saying.
That's
a child that's basically doing either what they think they were big enough to do or they felt like be back before the parent got home. You know, so many different scenarios.
He just got caught, huh? He got caught.
He just happened to be caught. And at that point, you know, the parent decided that it was time to utilize a form of discipline. And in so the child decided that they were going to, for whatever the reason is, I don't know, whoever they was hanging out with may have felt like that they was big and bad and they can do what they want to do. And they decided to sell some wolf tickets to the parent. And, man, that's a terrible thing to do. I would say that's a terrible thing to do. In my comments, anyway.
Can I say something? You know how it is, Pastor, when you're out there with your boy and your mama come up there and start raising her voice and she got you on Front Street. I gotta put my image. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to do, but in my come up, man, with my parents.
It don't come out too well, does it?
No, sir. You know, I never done it anyway myself, to be honest. I never did, man.
Yeah. Okay.
My mother had such a way of looking at me, you know, that I would fall in with the instructions. So if I was wrong, I'm getting ready to bow down right then. I'm not getting ready to whoop. There are no whoop tickets or none of that, man. you know.
Okay.
And but sometimes I still got discipline. I mean, I still got whoopings and things like that, brother. Believe me. But you know, fair, man. You know, to give the parents their just due because they're training up a child where they should go, even though they may venture off. Because my parent, I'd be honest, my mother didn't speak anything about the Bible. You know, she never gave me the instructions from the Bible or anything like that. So I can't say that my mom knew all about the Bible because she, you know, she just didn't do it like that with me. And I don't think, you know, my brothers and sisters dealt with it as well. However, but I do know one thing. You know, the word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, I didn't know what was in the Bible, but I heard my mother say, man, a couple of times when I was a little boy growing up, and I remember her saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And she told me, you know, Lord, have mercy on her, you know. And then I know another time she would say, thank you, Jesus. So it sounded like to me that having a talk with him. And why would she say thank you, Jesus? You know what I mean? That's the thing I wanted to do when I grew up.
What's going
maybe,
on
here? Yeah, maybe something in between happened, you know, when she said, Lord, have mercy on me. And thank you, Jesus. I said, what can you do with something? But nevertheless, man, again, you know, that's what made me, you know, when I got a chance to cry out for the Lord to help me out, man, I didn't want to play with him. So I didn't think my mother played with the Lord. But you don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. And so that's what made me believe that she had a relationship, but not one that was reliable and things like that. Maybe just faith. I don't know. But, man, so I utilized the scripture talking about training up a child in the way they should go. I never heard my mother read that. You know,
all right.
But
hey, Pap. Yeah. I'm getting a message from Facebook, and we got someone who is communicating with us via Facebook. May I read to you what their post is, right quickly?
Sure.
And then you respond to this. So she writes,
okay.
I gave it a try, right? I believe the law is very unclear and opinionated on the lines of discipline. However, I believe that if the law as a law enforcement can use the force to subdue a child, see what she's saying, or a teenager, a parent should also be able to use that same amount of force, right? And then she goes on to say that abuse is when hitting and force is excessive and unwarranted discipline, right? Is used as need to have a goal of correction behavior within the reason of age and awareness. Let's stop right there. What do you think about that? Do you think that, all right, so we know what happens when the police roll up on you. If you ain't learning how to behave on the street and you get to start getting fast at the mouth and loose with your lips with them, it's a good chance you may have some problems. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And she's saying that if the police can use force to correct them, why can't the parents use it?
That makes sense. And much more.
That's a very good question. We need to answer that for. Feel free to give us a call here, listeners, and those of you that are tuning in with us. 657-383-0944. Thank you for that post. And if you want to give us a call, we'd be happy to entertain your comment or your question. Let me respond to that, Pastor. Here's the thing. Until we move to another country, we're subject to the United States Constitution. And until we move, those of that live in Tennessee or your respective state, until you move to another state, you're subject to the laws of that state in which you're in. It is that state legislators that define child abuse, right? So what, as you'll notice in my monologue, I made it clear that the law does not, no state tell you you can't discipline your children.
Right.
So nobody's saying you can't discipline your children. What they're saying is you need to be aware of what the difference between discipline and abuse is. Now, when you get to that point where you got Lashawty out there, and I gave you the example of Lashawty out there, excuse my vernacular here, But he done got flipped with his mama on the street in front of his friends. Mama done told him to stay at home now. Right?
Right.
And he done got chested with her. And, you know, big old boy, she fired him. She warmed his heart up for him. She warmed his heart up. And then he run in and gonna call the police. Now, the mama went to jail. You know why the mama went to jail? Because that physical harm is the bleeding and so forth and so on. The police have to respond to that because that is what statutorily in this particular instance was considered to be abuse. She waited till he got to be big enough, Pastor, to give her lip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just imagine if she had established a communication and a rapport with him young enough to where he had much more respect than to do that in front of his friends or anybody else.
But I'd like to say concerning that's interesting that you say that, and that's, I would say, it would be valid, if you will. And I'm just using my own experience with this. The time when the discipline took place by the parent, by the mother,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, today, I mean, that's what they quick to do. A lot of them are, you know, can call, and then they'll come and arrest the parent. But I don't think it would have made it that far with me. I wouldn't even call no matter what you've done. There's no way I would have been able to call. You know what I mean? I mean, this is one of the most, I mean, I would love to be able to say, man, she hurt me so bad, I called the police. Man, listen, there's no way I would have dialed the police number to go have my mother arrested because she disciplined me. Mm. Whether it was a smack in the mouth or hit with the skillet or whatever it is that they first thing they like to grab, you know, in my come up, if you disrespect, she's bringing her by herself, and you're growing older, you think you're grown now, and you can, man, I never would. Now, all the corruption that I got into in my life, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life, but one of the things that I made sure that I did not do is disrespect my mother when she said something to me in my face. Brother, look here, I still give her the utmost respect right today, and my mother physically passed in 1996, you know, and I still have a form of I'm shaking in scenarios and things I'm going to do right now because of my mother, you know. And it's
just
amazing that you said it. Amazing that you said a guy called the police. And it happens a lot, I'm sure, today, and they come and arrest the parent. I think it's sad because if you're looking at the scripture, now, according to the scripture here in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, you know, verse 11, it talks about, it says, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know, what he's saying is, he says it's not comfortable when you're being chastised in the beginning. So whether it's with a belt or switch or a stick or what a broom, whatever they grab a hold to, it don't feel good when you're being chastised. And then, you know, you didn't think about, you know, you running off at the mouth when she was telling you something, and you didn't think nothing about that. But soon as she responded to you, you know, from you setting those tickets, then you call the police. And this is your mother, you know. And
Pastor, let's be clear now. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
How do you grow up from the time you're born totally depending on somebody to feed you, change your nasty diapers, hug you, love you, clothe you? How do you get to a point, sir, where you can even bring yourself to talk to your mama like somebody on the street? Explain that one to me like I'm 3 years old.
That's the part I'm talking about right there. You said it all right there. You summed it up. So why all of a sudden you don't even care enough about your parents that you can think back and appreciate knowing that she had to discipline you while you was a little baby, and you're going around, you're getting ready to do this, you said, stop, don't do that, and you responded. And now all of a sudden, you up there in age now, and she said the same thing she said when you was 2 or 3 years of age that she's telling you now while you're 17 and 18, but your response is different, you know. Well, I'm not 2 or 3 years old, you know. Huh?
Yeah, but could it be when you were 2 or 3 years old, she gave you directives, and she thought it was cute that you didn't follow them?
Yeah, I mean,
you were being sassy at 2 and 3, and showing out then, tearing up and being destructive, and she let you keep on going. Could that be what it was?
Oh, yeah, she let
you
keep going.
Well, when I say she let you,
right.
First of all, I'm not beating up on Mama, because Daddy ought to have been there, too, now. It take two to tangle. Amen? Have I got a
He wasn't. Yes, sir.
Let's get that straight, man. Let's get that straight. It take two to get him here, so let's make that clear. Now, but somehow, Mama, you said this last show, it's Mama's baby, Daddy's what?
Baby, brother. Yeah, it may be.
even when
they're almost sure that it's his, they still don't give him 99 point what if his mind is 100? Ain't no 99 nothing.
I believe you're praying with me. I believe you're praying with me. Follow me for a second, but All right. So I'm not beating up on Mama. She need help too.
Right.
In fact, that little male, this is a real story, by the way. That young man needed a father to teach him how to be respectful to his mama first as a woman and any other female that he interacted with. That's one lesson. See, we're talking about discipline, amen? And we're talking about in discipline is modeling expected behaviors. Now, if you don't put nothing in, why should you expect to get anything out? Walking with me? So let's go back to an example. At 2 or 3 years old, you're in an area, in an environment, and you're behaving in a way that you're told not to. But when you got direction or redirection, you didn't respond to it. Could it be that for whatever reason, Mama didn't properly stop him then at 3 years old when it was much easier to do it? Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
I hear people say, I ain't with that timeout. I'm going to just beat him.
Yeah.
Now, if you beat him, what are they going to learn, Pastor, but how to overcome pain?
Yeah, you got to have that form of style all the way through.
Right. And at what point do they learn to understand what was wrong with the behavior they displayed in the first place? See, now I do get it. What timeout is designed to be is the same thing prison is when you get to be an adult, a chronological adult. And you know how it is in prison. You can't go in or out when you get ready, can you?
No.
You can't determine what meals you want to eat, can you?
It's not up to you.
You can't even determine what kind of clothes you want to wear.
No, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? I got to call it. We got a caller here. 1451 is the last four digits. Welcome to Talk Straight.
Hey, it's Lindsay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Pastor,
how are you
doing? This young lady that dropped the bomb on us here about the discipline. Thank you for sharing with us. Any comment or question you want to add to the dialogue?
Yes, I'm in and out of hearing your conversation, and I wanted to speak particularly on the plight of the estranged teenager and mother situation. I kind of heard a little bits and parts of it, but I think that one thing that is difficult about a parent disciplining a teenager is when did the discipline start, like you had mentioned. I think that a lot of times, 10-year-olds, and, you can manage those ages without discipline, but then when they begin to become teenagers and they're off doing their own thing and, taking car keys and credit cards or, off the chain, and then you want to start trying to discipline them, it's a little bit too late for that. So, my mom, particularly for me in my situation, she didn't start discipline until I got to become a teen in high school. And by that time, it was way too late because there was no rapport built up. There was a limited amount of respect built up. And it wasn't that, I wanted to be disrespectful or anything like that. But, you're already conflicting, going through those, you think you grown and you think you know what you want to do, and because there's that rapport is not built up, it's just everything's kind of exploding on the parent at that point.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, and if so, I might, I'm gonna give you a formal classification of what you're talking about at that period. Between 9 and 13 is where a thing called fixed character identification comes into play. By that time, mm-hmm. you've already identified who you are as a young lady and what you think you want to do and think you're big enough. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Okay. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, so I think especially, you know, it's difficult for parents to introduce physical punishment at that age. Because, like I said, you think you've grown and stuff, and at that point, it's not just your parents, you know, whooping you, but it's an adult to an adult type of situation where you feel like you're an adult and they're an adult and they putting their hands on you. So it's a really, you know, it's an awkward dynamic. Whereas had that discipline and that physical punishment started at a younger age, then mm-hmm. honestly and truthfully, some of the problems probably would not exist, especially not to the extent to which, you know, you're having to put your hands on your grown or your teenage child, if you will.
That's right.
So,
Pastor, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I'm thinking right here. I appreciate her sharing that, and I still have to go back and just try to grab a hold to whether any times when I came up that the discipline of my mother
mm-hmm.
and how valuable it was to her that I followed
mm-hmm.
it in her
mm-hmm.
presence, and would love
okay.
to be able to follow it when she was in my absence, you know, like going on
right.
to work as do sometime. But when you came into the part where you spoke about being a teenager, and then the law today would quickly give kids the right to call the law on the parent.
Mm.
I'm still right that part, and
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find
stuck right there. Huh?
Yeah, that's a hard one.
The law on my parents, on my mother, I just couldn't see it. It's no way. I mean, no matter what, how she went about the discipline, I just
couldn't do it, man.
I mean, it's amazing that they're doing so freely today. And so the parent holds back.
Yeah.
See, my mother can hold back because the law, if you want to, you can do whatever. Run it for this. You know? It's like that. I mean, this is real, genuine. I brought you up. The law is not the one who's bringing you up. And so they're not going to tell me how to discipline you. That was their action. Their action was like that, not saying any words.
Right.
They put their action in. Man, it was amazing. And I think
what
needs to be for today.
Go ahead, Carla.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think definitely one part of that dynamic as far as children and teenagers feeling like there's an outside force is, you know, even when you think about, like, discipline, and I'm sure maybe both of you possibly can speak to this, but, you know, your parents probably were not afraid to spank y'all in the store. You know, no, but it didn't matter where you are. You're going to get a whooping. If you're out of line, you're going to get in trouble. But nowadays people want to be, you know, oh, well, we're in the store, so I'm going to get you when we get home, or, you know, try other techniques. And one thing I learned from my husband is that it doesn't matter where we are, what we're
mm-hmm.
doing, if you out of line, you're going to get it right then and there.
That's where you're going to get
it.
But I think that, you know, because they think that there's, you know, ooh, they can run off or excuse the behavior because somebody's watching, you know, that mentality has enabled them to run behind the police, run behind other family members, run behind their friends and stuff like that. And so this is where you get that dynamic of, well, I'm going to call the police on you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, here's one factor, too. There's been many groups that have come about over time where children who have run away and things of that nature, they run away from home, there have been organizations and groups that have formed themselves and forced policies that made certain behaviors illegal for parents to direct toward their children, okay? And
mm-hmm.
so that's where the whole practice of I got rights and I don't have to do what
mm-hmm.
you say because I got rights come into
mm-hmm.
play. Now, here's the problem. Here's the real problem, if you ask me. The very first voice of authority comes from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring child in the world and lay it on your breast, or a dad lay it on his chest, and you begin to rub and you begin to speak to it, guess what you're doing? You're establishing the conversation and communication for discipline that will follow that child until either you die or that child dies. Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense to y'all?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But what happens too often is often because of cultural factors, right? When you don't have time to be there with your children and everything and everybody else is a voice in their life, they get confused about who's in charge.
Yes.
Y'all see
yes.
where I'm
Absolutely, absolutely. We just actually had that happen. We went to visit part of our family in Chicago, and we have four children. They're small, five and under, and mm-hmm. their grandmother, of course, was spoiling them, like grandmothers do. There was nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
But you could see a shift in attitude in my oldest daughter because she thought she was going to get whatever she wanted when she wanted it. And she saw her grandmother as a voice of authority, which she is, but
right,
she automatically decided that she was going to go and, oh, whatever grandma finds acceptable, then it is acceptable. And she has
right.
to get taught real quick that at the end of the day, no, your parents have rules, and it's your parents first and foremost that you're going to follow. And then, you know, but you could see the shift and change when she felt like she could get away with, oh, well, I can get away with this, or, you know, this person finds this acceptable. And I think it's hard to discipline your children and have them retain that. So no matter where they go, they keep those lessons that you've taught to them.
Sure. And you're right on point. And so what has to happen is wherever you share your children, whatever environment you share them, you have to do as much as you could to make sure those in charge of that environment respect the order of discipline you have for your children. Now, the problem with you leaving your children with everybody else and in their place, you can't control what goes on over there, but you can control
mm-hmm.
where you live. Is that right? And the environment you provide for them. And if people are not willing to look like we lost Linda there, but if people are not willing to respect that, Pastor,
uh-huh.
the things that you taught your children and the order that you've laid out for them, maybe they're not good people to leave your children with. What do you think?
Correct. That's fair. I would say that's very fair, you know, because you're giving down the lesson in which you're expecting them to carry out. And if they're not doing that, it's not a good thing to leave the babies with them. And, you know,
absolutely.
And it goes on, and it's deep, man. This is a pretty deep and an interesting conversation here. And I wanted to say something, if you will, concerning the furtherance about being corrected or chastised, you know.
Right.
The Bible says, you say, if you endure chastening, God deal you as with sons. For
mm-hmm.
what son is whom the father chastened not? In other words,
mm-hmm.
so who are you that the father don't correct you, that a parent don't correct you, right? And then it goes on further to say, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastard and not son. Bastard, in other words, illegitimate. That's what you are if you can't be chastised, you see? And
sure.
then it goes on to say, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. And we gave them reverence. In other words, we gave them respect. He's giving us an inspirational dose right there to let it be known. If you can't chastise your kids, then they become
mm-hmm.
what they become as a result of you not chastising them.
That's
because they're going to call
right.
the law. They're going to
That's
call
absolutely.
The law. So you gave up on chastising them. And then they become illegitimate to you. So they don't belong to you no more, no way, because you can't even discipline
wow.
them. You can't
wow.
even correct them. That means you're waiting
wow.
on the system to correct them,
yeah.
lock
to
them
correct.
Up, feed them, hold them, and give them all the things that they want to give them now because they're in their system. Oh, man, that's a terrible thing.
Hold
My
on,
goodness.
That's... We got another call, Pastor. 4379,
go
welcome to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, who said I can't? Oh, go ahead.
It's me. I got disconnected.
Okay.
I got disconnected on my phone. Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's right. Now, so you heard what Pastor Waller was saying about the scriptural text. It tells us, essentially, I'm paraphrasing what he said, if you fail, if I fail as a parent to instill the instruction, the examples, and the guidance of my children, when they get old, they become subject to whatever the streets got for them out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I've said this when I've traveled with my lecture series and in places I've presented to groups of people. I've said this many times, call in pastor. If you showed me a young fellow or a young girl, for that matter, who's on the street after 10 o'clock p.m., whether they got a banana or a gun, I show you a child is out of order and is at risk to get in trouble.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. The percentage
you know,
is high.
They don't have to shoot nobody. They ain't got to break in nobody's street. But the fact that they're not in a place of covering where they are safe and preparing themselves with wholesome activity is indicative of the fact that somewhere somebody dropped the ball. Now, I don't mean
and
to harm to the – that's just the reality.
Yeah, the percentage
is high. And just to go
high.
Back to your text.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was saying just to go back to that biblical text you were speaking of, I think that a trend that I'm beginning to see is that a lot of parents are not taking responsibility for
Absolutely.
Their children and the outcome of their children as far as, like, after they're teenagers and in college and stuff like that. It's
mm-hmm.
like, don't look at me as the parent. I ain't got nothing to do with that. They just did their own thing. No. Well,
they
hold
did
on,
what
well.
They wanted.
Wait a minute. Right, exactly. And so a lot of times now you see, like, parents disassociating themselves with their children if their children have done negative actions. I can't tell you how many times I've had, and I'm young, I'm in my 20s, I've had friends that have had, you know, gone off on a strayed path, and their parents, it seemed like, take no responsibility for them or their outcome, you know, and it's not fair, you know. That's your child.
Yes, right.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
It's not fair.
Right.
You know, she said right there, she said a lot right there now. And
yes,
I'm
she
thinking,
did.
That, yeah, the scripture never said anything about when they get 15 or 20.
mm-hmm.
Your children, you see what I'm saying? Because it says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Right.
For
it.
This is right. And that's what it says, for this is right. It didn't say, oh, you 20 now, you don't have to obey them. You 30 years of age, you don't have to obey them. No, it did not say that. It says,
well,
that's why
yeah.
I'm here today. You know what I mean? And it's pretty, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's sad. I appreciate her voice today, you know, knowing
oh,
this
yeah.
way. I'm like, man, it seems like I can just do whatever I want. You know, but every time I think about hearing that voice, some things I won't even do that I'm knowing, I'm going to guarantee you that if it don't be for the power of the voice of my mother, I'll be doing some things right now. I do believe I would have done some things by now anyway.
Wow.
It happened because of the power of her voice, man. And I,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty good to me, you know, and I appreciate the conversation tonight, but, man, that's pretty deep. Now, the power of your parents' voice, even if they're physically not here, you can still follow the instruction that they laid down, man, you know, which could help
right.
you through life. That's beautiful that she brought that up about the kids
Absolutely.
Going on to college and the parents say, oh, they're not in my hands anymore. You're grown now. No.
Mm-hmm.
Grown now.
If y'all will, give me a second to get this commercial in here. And when we come back, there's a text. Lindsay, I'd like for you to respond to if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Give me a minutes here.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. people try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
Across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Who said I can't discipline my child? Child abuse versus discipline. When we left on the other side of the break, I asked our caller tonight, we're grateful for her being here, as well as Pastor Wally, if she would entertain this question for me. And here it is. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 4th verse says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Miss Lindsay, when you think about Pookie and all the Pookies across America, has someone provoked them to anger?
That's a good question. I believe that I can honestly say from experience that circumstance is probably their biggest root of anger.
Wow.
You know, and that doesn't just go for, quote unquote, the Pookie, but even, you know, you'll see some of these rich white kids out here and you'd be thinking like, wow, what they got to be angry about?
Right.
Really, their circumstance is not, you know, as bad as this one, but it's a whole different circumstance of maybe their parents ignoring them or not being there. And I think that just the underlying fact is just, you know, their circumstances, a lot of these kids to be angered.
You raise a valid point that when you see children who OD or who are rebellious and display rebellious behavior of other ethnic groups other than African Americans, there's a common thread there. And the thread, the commonality, is that somewhere in their come up, as Pastor Waller would say, in their formative years, the trust and the voice of authority was not connected quite well. I'm gonna say something went wrong. Something went wrong. Mm-hmm. Something went awry. And as a result, children grew up thinking, assuming that it's okay for me to take a different position than what I grew up in your house on. What about that, Pastor Waller?
Well, Pastor, that does happen. You know, and that's why I like the part of the scripture And I said earlier that my mother didn't know anything about the Bible concerning, from my knowledge, about reading the Bible to us or anything. But then here's the key to it. After hearing the scripture about training up a child in the way they should go, and then when they're older, they would not depart from it. So, you know, in other words, it'll still be them wherever they go. And, you know, that to me is a form of respect and saying, okay, you may go out and venture out into the world and get into some things because that's what the world does, you know. And of course, I mean, not being brought up with the Bible, I can't say, hey, I just disrespected what the Bible says. I didn't do that. I dealt with in my community. I ended up getting captured because I seen some things and things like that. But the love that my mother had for me, I knew. And I felt bad about what I was doing, but I was captured. See, that's a difference. That's a difference in disrespecting your parent versus you going out there and then you ride the bike and then somehow your foot slipped like mine did off the pallet and then I cut my leg. Well, I wasn't doing that to the hospital, so then she had to come and see about me, okay?
Right.
Now, the same thing when I got captured into the street life.
Mm-hmm.
My mother came about me unequipped on what to do other than just probably be praying that that boy come out of what he's in. But it wasn't because I was disrespecting her. Like, you know, she told me to stop. And I'm so glad my mother never told me, she never seen me do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my book, I shared this one time. I went to visit her in the hospital, and then she told me I looked like I needed some rest. You know, I guess she was trying to tell me that that stuff you're doing is taking over, you know, or something like that. She didn't ever say you need to stop doing drugs. She never said that because she never seen me do drugs. However, what I'm saying, I had ventured off into the world, and her love for me was still there. That's why I appreciate her so much. And one day when she told me, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. When she said that, I went, good.
Okay.
And I knew then, man, I got to get myself together. Well, that was around 1985. Well, in 1990, I ran for some help because I'm going on what my mother just told me. And sure enough, you know, in 1992, I got free. So I'm saying all that to say it has to do with versus disrespecting your mother versus getting caught in a trap. There's a big difference between that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I had to get out of the trap, and my mother was there, you know. So, go ahead.
No, I'm looking at one of the posts here, and the writer says that, let me make sure I get it right. The writer says, and I think this is Lindsay as well, and I would not suggest introducing discipline. Discipline a child physically as a teenager if it was not done at a younger age. By then, it's too late for that form of punishment. Now, I just want to respond to that, if I could, by asking the question and then offering a response to it, Lindsay. I think you're right on point here with our discussion. The question is, and this is a question thread in our on our Facebook group, is how does a parent begin to discipline a teenager, Pastor Waller, who is out of control already? Okay.
Yeah.
And I want you to weigh on this. I'm gonna offer the answer, and I want you to weigh on this, and let's talk about it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
That answer is the ideal time for any parent to begin discipline is at birth, by lovingly and verbally introducing themselves as the primary voice of authority and trust in their child. However, when the child has reached an age of fixed character identification, 9 to 13, and the latter opportunity has been missed already, perhaps the primary aim then is to find ways to foster therapeutic rapport with that youth.
Absolutely.
To go back and try to make them a baby again, that's a lost cause. That's a
lost cause. Not good.
Did you want to respond to that?
I can definitely, once again, speak on that from experience. For me, I was raised with my brother, single parent, family home, and like, my mom did not discipline us when we were children. And when we both became teenagers, she had different issues with both of us.
Okay.
And I know that me and her did try counseling, and one of the biggest problems that I have had or had back then is that even throughout counseling, she never admitted that she, quote unquote, did anything wrong. And intentionally or unintentionally, for me, that was a big roadblock, because I believe that if you are just introducing.
You there, Lindsay?
Can you hear me?
Sound like. Yeah, okay, we can hear you better now. Go ahead.
Okay. I was saying, I believe that if you wait to introduce discipline to your child as a teenager, first and foremost, as a parent, you know, you need to have a heart-to-heart sit down and say, hey, I messed up. This was not right. I should have started disciplining you back then, but I did not. So let's start from anew, and this is how it's going to be from this day forward, and then stick to that.
That's it. Now, but you know the problem is, Lindsay, adults have a hard time recognizing that children really want to know that you recognize that there was an error somewhere. But to try to make it seem like everything is okay, and because I'm the parent, you just accept it. They'll get big enough. I say this oftentimes. I see a lot of people approach to raising children is raising their voice and intimidating them. Well, at some point, they'll get big enough where that ain't going to work no more. You understand what I'm saying? Then you're going to have to use them.
Absolutely.
My mama had 7 boys and 5 girls, and she broke a lot of broom handles. Looks like she stayed by the broom. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? But it got to the point where the broom wasn't big enough. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean,
right.
I had a side question, so I'll let you go ahead and finish what you were going to say.
No, go ahead. I was simply going to say that the truth of the matter is you're absolutely right. You must be honest with your children, even when you made an error. But go ahead, pose your question.
I guess it's a question/statement. Like I mentioned earlier, me and my husband, we have 4 children, and get a lot of times by people, but almost 99% of the time by Caucasian people, they come up to us and they say, I just wanted to let you know that your kids are so well disciplined. And, you know, it's kind of getting a little bit out of hand to the point to where every single time we go out, that is said to us. And so, you know, we kind of get the look from them as if, what's the magic? You know, what are y'all doing? And so, me and my husband, we discuss it frequently of, is the situation of parents handling children that out of control to where parents are literally surprised that children behave when they go out?
Yes. That's the issue. What was normal 50 years ago, or what was abnormal, I should say, has become normal and acceptable today. That's the way my wife and I raised our children. They understood that all that we invest in you, that you enjoy, that you like, and the things you have to do, you can lose that at any moment's notice, and there will be consequences for your action. But they grew up appreciating being in order. And when they saw their peers, cousins, or friends, or anybody else out of order, they were quick to let them know, I got to get away from you because you're messing me up. If I did, I know what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? So that's a compliment, Lindsay. That's a compliment.
It is.
It definitely is a compliment, but I guess, you know, I don't, like, of course, you know, you take it with a normal thank you, used to being out, that type of thing. But then, you know, I guess right now,
it can
like,
be annoying.
I guess I'm beginning to understand, too, that it's even an abnormality to see a black family, you know,
absolutely,
to a lot of people. Yeah. It's like walking a duck, it's like seeing a duck family. You're like, oh, wow, it's a family of ducks, you know, so I understand that, too.
Well, so I've had my son's teacher to call me and just shock and awe, Pastor. And he says, how do you do it?
What do you do? As if, as Lindsay's, this is the premise of what Lindsay's saying. When you parent appropriately, you expect a positive outcome from your children. Why should I expect anything?
Absolutely.
Why should anyone else in the streets or society expect anything other than the expectations that you place on your children and the things you birthed in them to come to fruition? Because you have to understand that in this present moment, there are so many things that are out of sort, and children got more rights than they know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And,
the parents are funding them. That's the sad part. They are paying for every single thing the kid got, from the clothes to the iPhones to the new Jordans.
Sure.
The parents paying for it.
Sure. How you going to talk crazy to me and you got cookies around your lips I just bought? Explain them to me like I'm 3 years old. Pastor, come on, man.
You got flatulence
from the milk I just bought, and you talking crazy to me?
Right.
Go ahead,
man,
I'm sorry.
That makes sense, though, and I like to commend both of you for real, man, that you deserve to be admired, which that's what I'm doing right now. I admire that you all handle that very well, and, you know, and so it should be admired. Just without a doubt. I mean, I'd rather admire that than to say, hey, they got captured, they're out of control,
mm-hmm.
you know, they ended up there. So believe me, it's very deserving to uplift that. We need more of you.
Sure.
I mean,
absolutely.
Both of us need more. And the reason I'm saying that, let me explain why I'm saying that.
Okay.
And they surely have gifts and talent. And, you know, there's a part in my book that said forsaken talent, a message to the youth. So just because you all hook them up well, then they don't have to forsake their talents, right? Now, this is what I see in the two of you right here. The sharp man sees the evil and takes cover. See, you all, I consider to be sharp. See, you all are really sharp, you understand? But the simple goes straight on and get in trouble. But see, those are the ones that have discipline. Didn't have the parents there, the father and the mother there like that, like myself. And next thing I know, I'm out of control. And look what happened when I was out of control.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's Peter 5:8. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, I admit, not me, because I was out of control. As a result of that, what does a parent do? And we talked about that earlier, about when the person is all out of control. Well, my mother, that's the time when my mother discovered that that boy is probably having a hard time out there. You know, this is my son out there caught up like that. And as I was visiting her in the hospital, that's when she brought it to my attention. You know, I'm up there trying to take her $100 to give to her, which she accepts. But it's an opportunity for her to tell me what she needed to tell me. She said, "Boy, you look like you need some rest." I'm like, "Whoa, I just gave you $100 here." And so, you know, I'm saying all that. That's a mother's love. A mother's love was so strong, even when the child was out of control. You see, and I'm thinking that, hey, I'm grown now. I'm not telling my mother that I'm doing things, you know, on my own now. I'm not in the world. I'm captured. I'm in a trap. And and her saying to me helped me get out of the trap. It took a little while, but it helped me get out of the trap by her saying that. And I'm just saying, hey, I just like to see more of what you all was talking about, and it is to be admired.
And
it really is.
Well,
what you're suggesting, Pastor, is that we need to reshape our cultural context for discipline.
Yeah.
Okay? And we need to agree within our communities on what is appropriate and what is inappropriate, what's expected, and what is to be rewarded, and what is to be redirected, right? Right now, it's hard to do that because you have too many broken families where there is absolutely no discipline whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So children come out to the public venue under the assumption, what I do at home, everybody's supposed to accept that out in the public. Wrong answer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You were going to say something.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I appreciate the comment, and you know, absolutely. I think that, you know, with the generation now, as far as my age and even a little bit younger goes, what you're starting to see a lot happening is this entitlement wave, and it's coming from these parents feeding their children as if they're babies for a long time. And so when they get out into the world, they're looking for people to feed them like their parents have been feeding them, and the world is not going. You're not going to get a paycheck if you don't go to a job.
Watch out, man.
You know, so you're seeing a lot of entitlement, and it's not, you know, of course, everybody has, there's an appropriate amount. Like, you know, it's okay to have expectations and stuff, but you got to be bringing something to the table, because you can't sit back and wait for people to just give you stuff, give you things. You ain't putting nothing out, you know. So I think that parents need to realize that it's so much bigger than just, you know, your kid not ODing or not going to prison or not getting in jail. That's fine. That's great. That's bare minimum, right? Bare minimum, we don't want your kid being a nuisance to society. But past that, we want them to be productive. We want them to be able to not be calling you when they're 30 years old saying, "Mama, can I come stay at your house?"
Right.
Say that now. Won't you say that? Won't you say that now?
I did. I just had to go there. I had to go there.
Well, I mean, that's the truth.
You know,
and if I might answer what you're saying, go ahead, finish your thought. Let me be quiet. Let me finish.
Oh, no, 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 no. I was just saying, you know, I was talking to one of our family members, Kenya, and she was saying that her boss was asking her, how are you so responsible? How do you do this? I mean, my daughter, she's still on my insurance and this, that, and the third. And, you know, she's looking at him like, I mean, you just do it. And people are really perplexed. They don't understand why their 25, 30-year-old children are still looking at them, and it's because you still feeding them from a bottle and they can't cut it off.
Wow. Wow. So, you know what the issue is? And it is, children have to be told directly that what we are doing for you in terms of the structure and the discipline that we're providing, this is intended for you to do this as an adult when you leave from under our supervision. See, if you don't learn to discipline yourself, I could be, as a parent, dead and gone. You're still going to be in trouble if you have no self-discipline. And
right.
That's what a lot of people are missing. They grow up chronologically grown, undisciplined. And you see it in different facets of their life.
Yeah, it happens. It's definitely.
And I'm not saying that they're bad people, but we see the fruits of that behavior, right? And let's keep in mind what we define discipline as. It is willful, focused training intended to get people used to following and meeting certain codes of behavior. Now, as Lindsay pointed out, when you become a chronologically grown adult, it's a difference in you soiling your underwear than when you were a little infant. I don't mean to be gross, but I'm just trying to get the point across.
Big difference.
And it's a big difference, isn't it?
It is.
And when you are constantly relying on someone else to feed you, to clothe you, and to make major life choices and decisions for you, that's synonymous to the same type of thing. Even at 2 years old,
absolutely,
when they start walking, they ought to be potty trained. Amen, somebody. And what you're doing is you're teaching them to be accountable for what they produce. Y'all going to walk with me?
Go ahead.
Correct.
At 2 years
I think
old,
that if,
that's the point of potty
I
training.
I think that if parents looked at discipline as not only a form of quote-unquote punishment, but as a form of growth, there would be more of it, and as a form of liberation. Like, I mean, if my five-year-old can go in the kitchen and make herself something to eat, that's liberating to her, but also it's helping me. So, you know,
sure,
I think too many times parents think, oh, discipline, oh, that's bad, you know, oh, you're hurting the child, you're this and that. But if anything, you are liberating them and allowing them to start forming their own decisions, you know, and helping themselves.
Right.
And it goes it so much further.
Sure it does. And Lindsay, the catch there is that requires that you spend time with them. Sometimes people think, Pastor, that this will automatically jump in their head out of your head. No. You've got to spend time modeling to them how. That's why the most powerful example is when a boy sees his father go to work, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You're modeling to that young man how you become responsible as a man and one day perhaps a husband and a father and the head of a household.
And Ruben, if I could, Ruben, just give a tip on that whole time thing. Like, I 100% agree with that, and I think that it's so important, especially for parents who have the 9-to-5 job and see their kids in the morning and the afternoon, to really spend as much quality time in the morning and in the afternoon and on weekends as possible.
Right.
Because school, unfortunately, robs a lot of parent-child interaction. And so if you're going to the club on a weekend and you over your friend's house on Sunday and you're not staying up and cooking dinner and eating with the family, then you have lost all of that child-to-parent interaction time. It's gone.
Absolutely.
Very easily.
Absolutely. And some simple activities that can fill that gap is making sure that you sit your babies at the table and eat with them across the table. Ask them, how was your day today? What did you do? What did you learn today? You know, my children, that was a point where they were shrugged their shoulders. I don't know. That's not an answer. Talk to me. I want you to articulate what you're saying. You mean to tell me you went to school all day today and didn't do nothing? Or do you mean, are you asking me specifically what it is that I want to know? But talk to me. You understand what I'm saying? It takes time and engagement. And, again, I want to emphasize the fact that, unfortunately, there's a major breakdown within our communities and even in the church where these type of values are not consistent with everybody. You even see children in church now just plumb out of control. And folks sit back and look at them and don't say nothing. But they'll talk about their mama after church is over. What about that, Pastor?
Yeah, well, you know, you're saying, you know, so much information tonight from what I'm gathering, man. I think what I'm meditating on, and I'm doing it purposely because I have a tendency to appreciate what I have heard. And when I embrace it, I think about my kids, man, that I didn't even have a chance to bring up. It started out, you know, it started very well. I mean, and I always had love for my kids, but I want you to listen to what happened.
Okay.
I got a child by this woman. Now I'm no longer with this woman. I have a child by another woman. I'm no longer with this woman. Then I have another child. So you see the separation caused me not to be able to bring my kids up as I would have, because my little boy was hanging out with me. You know, even though I wasn't inside the will of God doing his will, my little boy was hanging out with everyone.
Wow.
Even in my, and I'm saying all that to say that I didn't bring them up well. And I heard you all talking about how you can pick up where you are, but not trying to, because the child is a teenager now, you're trying to discipline the child. No, you got to meet them where they are, explain
right.
that I faith, and I've done that, you know. So
okay.
I was just, you know, this thought, man, and I really, really do appreciate, you don't know how much you and Miss Lindsay really blessed me to be able to acknowledge the importance of that. Training up a child, you know, and then all of a sudden I had a chance to talk with my son and let him know, man, you know, he used to hang out with me all the time, man, and then suddenly when your mother and I were together, hey, man, I didn't want to interfere, but look at how the enemy moved, you see?
Right.
And so, you know, he never charged me with that, so I just want to let you know that's where I was when you all was talking. But it's an experience, and it's a good one, and maybe someone else is dealing with the same situation. And as I said earlier, we need more. We need our kids to be able to know that it's okay to have two parents. But just in case it's not, you know, that one parent can do the best that they can do. I don't like the part when they say the person is a mom and a dad. And no, I don't get with that.
No, wrong answer.
What I get is that if the mother's doing the best that she can do as a mother, she do the best that she can do. I brought my little girl up, but the only thing I can be was a good father to her, the best I can be to her. You know, that's it.
That's right.
You know?
That's
and,
right.
That's right. You know, it can't be both of them at the same time. You got to be one or the other. So, you know, just in case the two parents are not around together.
Right, right.
You know,
wow. And, look at Pastor, what you doing with the? You must be playing with the clock again. We got about 9 minutes and 30 seconds, man.
Yeah, we've been very long, man. I tell you,
Lindsay,
nice.
It seems like Pastor Waller has a tendency to play with the clock. We only got an hour and a half. And look like every time we get the conversation get good, we about time to end it, man. I don't know what's going on there. But we appreciate you joining us tonight, Lindsay, and I appreciate your conversation and your question. Any other questions that we can answer before we leave here, before we wrap up tonight and
Sure it is. I wanted to ask her, she sounded so young, and then I think I heard her saying that she's like, 27.
Well,
20 strong. And I tell you, man, she's handling her business, man. You know, she's doing that thing. You know, like she's been around a long, 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 long time, brother. So I want to encourage you, sister, to let you know when you say you and your husband, I mean,
yes,
this is more for real, seriously. Young people to be able to acknowledge the power of togetherness. And be
able to
kids through the process of that. I think she had already sent her kids on to college and everything. She ain't 27, you know. And saying things like she already got them hooked up in it. So I like that. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I want to encourage you and also thank you for knowing that that's hope, you know.
Right.
Lamentation chapter number 3 and verse 21 states very clear. It says, "And this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." That's what she brought to the table. She brought hope, man. To those young people who are tuned in, or somebody that can get a message to the young people and let them know that Ms. Lindsay was on the talk show tonight. You know, keeping hope alive.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
we
you.
Do appreciate you for what you have to offer. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I was just going to say, I appreciate you guys talking, you know, with me tonight, hung in there y'all. I appreciate it. And I think I've even taken away, you know, a few things about, like you were saying, the law and what, you know, the kids thinking they can call the law on their parents. I hope that, you know, me being so young and my husband being so young, hopefully we can help spread some type of message. And I guess my question was to you, just on a general essence, you know, what are ways that you suggest that? Because like I said, you know, we have people coming up to us, more so older people, but young people too all the time, like, oh, how do you do it? How are your kids so disciplined? Or how do you do this? Or how do you do that? But, you know, us not being boastful type of people, you know, we don't really know how to share and encourage other people properly. So if you have any suggestions, or you either, or you too, Pastor, you know, we would love those so we could help spread positive messages.
Sure. Sure. First of all, and I think Pastor Wyatt will agree with me, just keep doing what you're doing. Sometimes people think you have to be speaking to make a statement, but just your walk and your example is power. First of all, so keep doing what you're doing. And the other thing is, we've been fortunate to have, Pastor Wallace been with us since we started as a panelist. We've been fortunate to have a number of young people come on and share positive, proactive stories. Each of these shows are recorded, and you can go back and listen to them from Facebook or to the Blog Talk Show, and anytime you get ready. But what I'm doing also is I'm composing sets of, this is a lecture series, so we're composing this conversation into CDs. And the idea is that when we go to the city, we just give them out to our participants, and they can hear your powerful testimony as do the other young people that we've had on with us. And I my hope is that that will be a very positive lesson to let them know that there are individuals in your peer group of your similar experience who are making a difference. And
that's great. That's great to hear.
The information that we're sharing is useful to anyone who takes advantage of it. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's it. That's great.
Well, if we can help in any other ways, you know, we would love to with the lecture series or touring, or just give us a call.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I understand you're a business owner as well, so we may need you and your husband to come and tell us about how you balance those two out sometime in the future there. We'd love to have you come on and be one of our guests at a future show. Does that sound pretty good, Pastor Wallen?
I think it sounds wonderful, man. And, you know, to add to what you were saying, and I was in total agreement when you shared that. And I would like to also extend this to her to let her know that in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13, and it sounds like it fits you very well, you and your husband, that I'd like to encourage you to stay ready to continue to do what you're doing. That's how you perfect it, you know, because it says, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Absolutely.
To just stay ready to continue to do what you have been doing, because it still holds good today. And if it holds good today, you keep striving and be ready for the tomorrow to do the same thing over and over again, and suddenly it would become just a lifestyle, and that's what we need at this point
that's
in our lives.
That's it.
And that's what you guys are disciplined, a lifestyle. It's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, stay ready.
I'm very happy that we had this opportunity to share with you as well, because as Pastor Wallace said, I'm just going to echo what he said already, and that is stay ready, because this is not something that is happenstance, but it's focused and deliberate. And when we teach people the proper way, that the Bible said, train up a child in the way that he should, and when he get old, he won't depart from it. That has to
That's
be
right.
intentional. You have to be focused and deliberate about that. Not shooting from the hip or just throwing stuff against the wall and see what sticks. No, you have to be very intentional. Now, if you don't know, the question is, where do you go? I want to invite you to look at www.dfcinstitute.com. We got some things that you might be able to benefit from, you know. And that's really what this is all about, is being intentional and focused. So with that, man, we got about 2.5 minutes. What I'd like to do tonight is to end the show with our little message there, give each of you a closing statement. And then Donny Hathaway said, giving up is hard to do when you care. So give us a final thought there, Ms. Lindsay, about 30 seconds.
Final thoughts, parents, if you are out there and you have teenagers you are struggling with, first step is to sit down with them and admit your wrongs and start fresh. is the best thing you can do. And if there are parents out there that have younger children, don't be afraid to discipline them and reach out for help. It's okay to not know everything, because when your baby's born, you're not a professional. It takes a lot of work. So read about parenting, ask for help about parenting, whatever resources, plenty of resources out there. I'm sure Ruben has some resources for parenting. out there, he loves to share, but just don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it.
All right. Pastor, give me 30 seconds, because we've got almost a minute here.
All right. Bless God for that. I know I wanted to say that the Word of God said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I love to always end with this note. It says, where there's two or three gathered together in His name, touching and agreeing, now He would be in the midst of us. We need Him in the midst of the work. And that's my thing.
All
Amen.
Right. We'll be back next Tuesday. We'll be back next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Please join us for another episode of Straight Talk. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're going to leave with Donny Hathaway. Giving up.